Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 104, if you're listening by radio. Tonight, I have some good friends here from Panama, Scott and Vicki Heiser. Scott, thanks for joining us. Vicki?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I asked them on the program tonight because they were actually here before me, and so they have quite a story to tell, just of the transition that it took for them not only to come here, how God brought them here, but how they have stayed through a number of reasons that they had to work through. Of many people, when they leave to go on the mission field, there's a lot of things that want to call them back home. And one thing I really admire about Scott and Vicki is that they have stuck through the opposition or the opposing winds that would try to blow them off course from God's plan. And so I just want to let one of you guys just kind of jump in and just share a little bit about what actually brought you to Panama. I think it was 2011 that you guys came here.
Yeah, we had started coming to Panama in 2006 with our church from La Crosse, Wisconsin. And our trips were facilitated through YWAM, and we would come down. In 2006, we came down on one mission trip, and after that trip, God just called our church to the Novi people to work with them, and so we started coming down twice a year.
Now, the Novi people, for those that don't know on the radio here listening, they're the local native Indians that are here in this Cherokee province.
Yep. And we would go up into the mountain and work with one particular village for probably 3 years, I believe. And then we moved on into other villages and doing construction projects and some medical outreaches and that kind of thing. And we just, through those trips and through, and especially in 2006, God just put a real strong calling on us, on me particularly and our church, to come to Panama. But I had to wait for Vicki to get her calling, which took a few years.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I noticed you point the finger like he is initially the one who got the calling, but how did things change for you? Because obviously, initially it wasn't anything that you thought would ever happen.
No, it wasn't. Like Scott said, we've been coming since 2006, and I came again in 2007 with our church, and after that trip, I thought, this is crazy. I'm not coming back here unless the Lord calls me, but you feel free to keep going, Scott, and so he did, and after a few years, I was like, oh, people are looking at me, probably wondering, why isn't she going with him? So in 2010, I thought, oh, I better go, you know, but God didn't call me to come, and I just said, come on, Lord, you know, he's going, you know, I'll go with him. And he's like, no, not now. And so I said, okay, fine. So I didn't come that year. But then in 2011, the Lord opened the door for me, and he prompted my heart to come. So I did come in 2011, and we came to this region of Panama. And the first day that we were working with YWAM, we were helping them build the new building that they have here in the Puerto Rios area. And I just felt God say, I sat down, actually. I was looking around. I'm like, this is really cool. Look at everybody working, and this is neat, you know? And the Lord said, this is where I want you. And I thought, wait a minute, I didn't hear that right. No. I'm not going to say anything to Scott because we might not get to go back to the United States if I say something right now. So that's when I knew the Lord called me. It was March of 2011. Actually, probably this last week was 5 years ago. So.
Wow. So you guys were just waiting for your marching orders, I guess, that you felt in your heart, Scott, that you're supposed to come, and you were just waiting on Vicki to get her marching orders, too.
Through counsel from a dear friend, pastor of ours, just said, until she gets her calling, you have to wait. So, and it was good because I'm kind of a let's get it done kind of thing, and she's more conservative, and so it balanced us out. If we would have come when I was ready to come in the beginning, it wouldn't have been in God's timing, and it never would have worked. And we can really see that in hindsight.
So right you initially began to work with the youth with a mission, in Puerto Rios, and that was what, for a couple of years or 3 years you were working with them?
We were with YWAM for 3 years on staff. That's right.
And then some things kind of changed, and the Lord kind of gave you kind of a use that to bring you here, but then began to expand and expound on a bigger vision of why God has you here. Why don't you share a little bit about some of the things? I know you have a great ability to do construction work because every time I come to your house, there's more things that have been done and added, and quite a gift you have there.
Yeah, after 3 years with YWAM, which really got us established in Panama and grounded, we had built our home, and we had a house that we use for hospitality, and it's large enough that we can keep bringing small teams, church groups, whoever needs a place of haven. And God just really spoke to us about building that facility, and he uses it all the time. We have people coming and going, it seems, quite often. But then there came a point when we just felt God released us from YWAM and opened our eyes to kind of this new a new season, and to prepare for what he has coming in the next season of the church and of the believers. And so we've really seen in the last year an increase of Christians coming to Panama Spirit-led. And it's just not one or two. It seems like it's family after family and couple after couple coming and saying, we just feel like God's calling us to Panama. We've never been to Panama before, but we're here to check it out. And it just amazes me to see what God is doing, calling other fellow Christians to come out of the U.S. and come to Panama, or mainly the U.S., I guess.
It's really interesting to see people, how God is directing people. And it's very encouraging to see people being obedient, you know, because I know it was very difficult for you guys. It was difficult for us to leave everything behind. You know, when we got on the plane, in my heart, I knew I wasn't going back, that God had something in front of me, and it wasn't behind me anymore, and I wasn't to look back. And because I had that, almost like, you know, it says that Jesus set his face like a flint, you know, for Jerusalem. You know, when you know that God has called you someplace, you got to keep your face in the direction he's called you to go. You don't look back. You know, there's a reason why he said, remember Lot's wife. Many people look back because of what they had, what they lost. And what I realized recently is that if you don't cut the heartstrings, you know, Jesus said, unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. And I think this is part of the process. If people really want to follow the Lord, they have to cut their heartstrings to everything that's behind them. And many people don't. And it's like they have to go back and retrieve their heart because they left their heart back in another location.
Yeah, that's right.
So you guys, you made this move, and I know you've had some difficult challenges even recently with a daughter who has cancer, and your heart, I'm sure many ways wants to go back to be a mother, but you have an incredible ability to keep your eyes on the prize where God called you to go, and you're waiting on new marching orders, and there is no new marching orders. So, you know, that's what I really encourage people that are listening right now. If God told you to do something, if he's not told you to do anything different, you just keep doing what he told you to do until he tells you otherwise. And sometimes Satan likes to use our heart to bid us in a different direction, but we have to use the word of the Lord to keep us in the right direction.
I'd just like to say, when the Lord did call me here, and we went back to the States with our church for the mission trip and whatnot, it was a problem. I fought with the Lord for 3 months before it was Father's Day, 2011, and I needed prayer, and I asked for prayer from a couple in our church, and I kept thinking, well, wait till my youngest son graduates, Lord, or wait till I make sure everything's okay, and I want everything in a row, and I want to make sure I'm going at the right time, but I didn't know the right time. And but inside, I was just in this turmoil, and I was like, what is wrong with me? I need prayer. So when I was praying with this couple on Father's Day, Scott actually was in Panama at that time. So I was by myself with the Lord, and he was just working on me and talking to me. And as I got prayer, they said, well, you know, do you sense the Lord saying anything to you yet? And I'm like, no, I can't. And they said, okay, let's just keep praying until we get a breakthrough. I'm like, okay. And within 15 seconds, the word came to me as obey. And I just said, stop. The Lord is asking me, am I going to obey him? And I knew that meant I was going to leave my home, my children, my grandchildren, my job, everything. And I was afraid to do that, but I decided, you know what? It's better to obey, and let's see what happens. And so I went in and I gave a resignation that week at work, and I said, I'll be done by the end of July. And everybody said, well, when are you leaving? And I'm like, I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to, you know, resign. And by the end of July, I resigned. And in a week, we had tickets to come to Central America. And it was just, it happened so fast. As every step you take in obedience, the Lord will open a door.
That's
and
right.
It hasn't been easy to live here, you know, and to be quite honest, it took me 3 years before I actually said, this is home. And ironically, it was a year, about 14 months ago when our church was here and my daughter was just diagnosed with cancer. And I was brushing my teeth, working up in the mountain with the Nobe Indians in our church. And I was just like, Lord, I just want to go. I just want to, how is this all going to work? And the Lord spoke to me and said, do you believe I called you here? And I said, yes. And he said, then I will take care of you. You just stay on track, and I will show you where to go and the next steps to take. And so that was really, that's when I said, okay, Panama is home. Mm-hmm. And it took 3 years, but that's my story, you know. And I'm here because of obedience, and now I call it home.
You know, this is an underlying theme that this radio program constantly is talking about is obedience. And the Lord said to me one time a while back, he said, obedience is the key that will unlock the door to your future. And so that means that there are many doors in front of people that are locked to their future that God has for them because of disobedience. Until they step out in obedience, that door is going to be shut. But like once you just obeyed, then everything began to fall into place out of your obedience.
That's right.
And it's ironic too, our God thing. When we came back from that mission trip in March of 2011, our pastor had preached about when God opens a door, he's opening this and saying, step through. And I'm not going to show you what's way down there because that might be too much for you to take. So you just walk through this one door, and then I'll open another. And so that's what we've really done, is just walk through each door as it's open to us and not try to force one open. So
you know, I always like making sure, take your forensic little kit and dust the doorknob, you know, and make sure it's God's fingerprint before you go through it. So this is, you know, many times people, they're waiting on God. They want to see far enough down the road that they know they're making the right choice. And it's the opposite of how Abraham walked his walk of faith out. He left. God said, leave and I'll show you, you know. And this is the way God does with us. He tests our trust. He tests our faith. Do we really trust him? And this is why I've talked many times about learning to hear God's voice and knowing it's him. Because how are you going to follow someone if you don't know their voice? And this is a critical thing for many people right now, because there's big decisions that need to be made, and they need to find a place where they can just seek God's voice and eliminate what they know is not God's voice so they can get clear direction in what God's telling them to do.
I know... once you get, we had such a strong calling, and it was so clear to us that to not go would have been just disobedience, sheer disobedience. And there's no better place to be than to be in the center of God's will, where He wants you, whether that's in the Middle East or in Alaska or wherever that might be, He will take care of you.
Well, He's looking to send people right now. And, you know, if you're going to be sent, it's like you're an investment in the Lord to go and do what He's called you to do. So obedience is absolutely key and paramount in accomplishing what He's called you to do. He's not going to send a disobedient person to go do a great job, because His heart is souls. And if you're not being obedient, there's souls that are being lost, or whatever the piece of the puzzle that you're supposed to fit wherever you're supposed to go, you're critical to whatever God wants to do. So your obedience attaches you to the thing that God's doing, like a big puzzle. You're the piece, and another people attach to your piece because you're in place.
That's right.
I always think of when I'm making a decision, I ask the Lord, you know, is this what You want me to do? And if I don't have that sense of peace that the Lord only can provide, then I don't move, you know. And I knew after that prayer where she said, where God said, obey, are you going to obey? As soon as I said yes, the peace just overflowed me. And I knew I was doing what God wanted me to. I kept fighting Him for those 3 months, but as soon as I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And then just the peace just came over me. And very strange way to imagine all of the things that were going to transpire so quickly. I had no idea, but
I think about the scripture in Colossians that says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Greek word for rule, it means to govern or umpire. So in other words, who calls the shots, you know, in a ball game is the umpire. So the peace of God needs to be there to call the shot, you know, to confirm that it is the Prince of Peace that's leading, you know, because He will lead you by His peace.
I remember getting the phone call while I was in Panama. I had called back to the States, and Vicki told me she had resigned her position at her job, and it's like, okay. So I knew God was working in her heart, because I knew how much she was struggling with releasing all that. And so it was amazing to watch God work in her life.
I was thinking about a hot air balloon and how, you know, you got these sandbags holding you down to the ground. You know, that was like a big sandbag that was got snipped, you know, so you could take off.
Yeah,
you know, I've also seen, like, when we were leaving to come here to Panama, there was a number of things that God had asked me to do, and I didn't know why. One thing was saving money, and I didn't know why He wanted me to do that, but I did that for about 4 years. And I felt like when God's calling finally had manifested and it was time to go, it's like having an airplane that's now on the runway, but it's got a full tank of gas through your obedience that you've done, not understanding why, but you were just obedient to do what God told you to do prior to the time when the airplane takes off, you know, and takes you where you're supposed to go. That obedience is what fills the tank on the, you know, that makes sure that you can clear the end of the runway. So I'm just really excited to hear just all the things that God has done with you guys. And why don't we use the last bit of this program here? We got about 10 minutes left. But where do you think, I know much of like what the Lord has shown me of what is coming. You know, that even the Lord, I was mentioning this earlier, that, you know, a while back I spent a lot of time traveling, and I'd sit in the hotel room and watch Fox News or watch news programs, just kind of watching what's going on. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, do you want to watch the news or do you want to make the news? Mm-hmm. And what I realize is that there's come a time when you have to get out of the stands. You got to get on the ball field to get in the game. And this is where everybody needs to get their marching orders now. Everybody's just sitting in the stands watching the world go by and doing nothing to make a change or make a difference. And God's looking for world changers right now that are willing to get out of the stands and get on the ball field and do their part. And I had a vision here when we first got here. I saw an orchestra leader's hand with a baton in it, and it had a white glove, and it was tapping the podium. And I heard the words, "Attention, everyone, take your positions. We're about ready to make some beautiful music together." And what I really saw in this, and this is what he showed me, is that the seats in his orchestra are for the obedient, that everybody's doing their part with what their part they play. Mm-hmm. They're not worried about the violin player, not worried about the saxophone player doing their part, because they'll miss their part because they're not keeping their eyes focused on the orchestra leader. And the Lord's our orchestra leader right now in his body, and he's directing his people to do their part. And there's seats available right now. This is the good news, is there are seats available in his orchestra right now. He's looking for obedient people to take their place, wherever it may be. It doesn't have to be Panama. You know, it could be anywhere in the world. It could be in your community. But the key is just doing what God's telling you to do.
That's right. That's so important.
So this is, tell us a little bit about maybe where the vision that you feel like, we both believe that there are harder times that are coming to the world, to the United States. And I think, you know, many people won't leave. The Lord said this to me too when I was having to make all this transition. He said, you either leave your comfort zone or your comfort zone will leave you. So what I was realizing, and he said to me, you know, he told me, in other words, he said that my nest was in the wrong forest. So all these things were telling me something's going to happen in that forest. And that forest was the United States. I knew the Lord was saying this to me. But there's coming a time when many people's life of comfort, because that's what most people seek. They seek for a place of comfort. But you never grow in your place of comfort. You know, you grow outside that place of comfort. And God's going to take the comfort zones away from many people, and they're going to have no choice but to leave. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what I feel like the Lord's calling you and as well as me is to prepare a place spiritually and physically for those that will come as the Lord directs.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly in the last year, 14 months, I've just really sensed God has opened my eyes to things I had never seen before or just understood, and he's just giving me so much clarity in the direction that this next season, I believe, that's coming to the world, to everyone, and he's just telling me to prepare. It's just so deep in my spirit to prepare. Mm-hmm. We're preparing shelter. We're getting ready to build greenhouses, and just we've planted on our property as much food as I can get to grow, and it takes time. But God, you know, he knew that, and then he has given us. We've been working on this for, you know, 4 years. So we have crops coming in now, papaya and banana and pineapple, and oranges and lemons are coming. And so it's just a progress, you know, a work in progress, but God's in charge, and mm-hmm. He's just really given us the time to prepare and to get established for what's coming.
You know, it's really interesting is that one of the words the Lord directed me just confirmed that the decision that we are making, because I was in a place of just desperation. I was about ready to come on this exploratory trip to Panama, and I cried out to God. I said, God, I need you to tell me, am I making the right choice here? Because I'm getting ready to uproot my family. And we went to church that Sunday. It was Sunday morning just before we left on a Monday. And the kids want to go to one church that they go to youth group, and I had friends at another church. No, let's go to this church. No, let's go to this church. And I said, no. I said, I don't want to listen to a good sermon this morning. I need a word from the Lord. I need to know I'm making the right choice. And sure enough, the Lord had a word. The pastor was a very operating prophetic, and he said, I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but the Lord wants me to tell you that you have to be where God tells you to be, and you have to be there when he tells you to be there. And I literally saw two fingers, like one was time and one was place, and they crossed, and they formed an X, and he said that your obedience is just as a treasure. X is on a treasure map. Your obedience is where your treasure is, and your obedience. So I knew I had to do whatever God told me to do, and so this is how he directed us to come, as I knew there was a timing and there was a place. And I see, I had gone through Y2K preparations and all this stuff, but I'm realizing you can prepare, but you can prepare in the wrong place. So that's why I think location is critical for people, is that you have to be where God tells you to be, and you have to be there when he tells you to be there, because it takes time to prepare for what's coming. So that means that your obedience will prepare you in the right place, and the timing is critical as well. So I know, I mean, I spent the whole day in a greenhouse today planting. I mean, just as amazing. I'm learning so much, but it takes time. I mean, there's people who have cans of heirloom seeds, and they've never planted a seed in their life. Mm-hmm. And they think they're just going to take this can and plant some seeds, and they're going to have this bountiful harvest. But, you know, it takes time. You need to start learning how.
No, that's
you know,
right.
Now's the time to go to school and learn this stuff before you need it to eat. There was 50% of the pilgrims died because they didn't know what they were doing until the Indians taught them the second year.
That's right. You have to get to know the Panama bugs and the funguses and stuff that kills your crop and be educated, and that stuff I'm learning every day and trying to save what we've got planted. You know,
well, it's a learning curve.
That's right.
And I know the learning curve is important because, you know, there comes a time when there is no more time to learn. There's no curve to learn. That this is why I'm being as imperative right now that people get on their face before God, repent for not listening to God, falling asleep in their comfort zone. You know, I said I was watching the local people here just worshiping the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, why are they so hungry here and they're not back in the States? And the Lord answered my question with a question, and he said, have you ever been hungry while you were asleep? I thought, no, I've never been hungry while I'm asleep. I go, oh, wow, a lack of hunger is just a symptom of a slumbering spirit. And so if you feel like you've been in a state of slumber, maybe you grew too comfortable where you are, just repent. Say, Lord, I just forgive me for falling asleep on my watch. And not, I just got too comfortable with life, but I'm ready to wake me up now, and I want to get about your business, what it is you want me to do. And the Lord will just pick you up and take you right where he wants to go. And you, I mean, he's just waiting for that place of humility that you admit that maybe you've made all the right choices. And this is what I encourage people right now, to just find a place and just ask the Lord for direction. And Scott and Vicki, half an hour goes quickly.
It sure did.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining Strength for the Journey tonight, and we hope you enjoyed the program too. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the journey.